sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
And tune into your favorite podcast,
where things will be misquoted
and opinions ain't sugar-coated.
'Cause DJ and Kelly are locked and probably loaded.
Okay, are we on right now?
We are rolling it.
Hey guys, welcome to Locked and Probably Loaded with DJ and Kelly. I am your co-host, DJ Qualls.
And I'm Kelly.
Hi, Kelly. Kelly, are you going by your real last name or Blackheart?
It's such a hard decision for me all the time because my real last name's hard to spell.
Yeah.
And I feel weird saying Kelly Blackheart, but we'll just say Kelly Blackheart.
I think Kelly Blackheart's the way to go.
Yeah. Got a black heart.
So guys, I don't know what the hell we're doing. I actually only guested on a podcast, I think maybe once or twice. I did yours.
Yeah.
This is a whole new world for us, or for me. Kelly knows this business very well. You're going to see us basically fumble through this a couple of episodes to find our footing. Basically, it's the equivalent of watching us masturbate. So it's
all the pleasure and no mess.
Exactly.
Well, I know you were a little bit nervous about this. You had texted me saying, like, what if this is like when you're in an argument and you think of all the best things to say when you're driving away? So I reached out to somebody that might be able to give you advice. You had told me, I asked you what your top reality shows were, and I know you were joking.
I was joking.
I know you were joking. But one of the things you told...
You know what Republicans already think about us. Do not...
No, I'm not... You mentioned that one of them was 16 and pregnant, and I knew it was a joke, but...
They were all jokes. Can I say what they were?
Yes,
They
of
were
course.
16 and pregnant, To Catch a Predator, and what was the other
Toddlers
one?
And Toddlers and Tierras.
It was a joke.
Oh,
I don't even watch Disney movies because I'm a single man and I think the FBI will show up at my fucking house.
Don't check my phone. I am fully aware it was a joke, but I wanted to lean into it. And so I got some advice for you from somebody from your favorite show, 16 and Pregnant. So,
are you serious?
Isaac, could you play that?
Are you serious? I've actually only seen it a couple times.
You'll know her. You gotta know her.
Is that... Oh my God, is that Farrah?
Yeah.
Abrams?
Abraham.
Abraham? Yeah. Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, is this real? Did you do a cameo?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let me see it.
DJ Qualls, it's your girl Farrah Abraham. Woo! And I am not only excited for you to start a podcast, but I'm so happy that you are. People are going to love your stories. They need to hear your voice. Share your journey, share your love for things, and that is the best. Also, I think you should check out some of the videos online about how to grow like your YouTube shorts, using your YouTube shorts to expand your amazing new podcast. So, I don't know, all the love from your girl, Farrah Abraham, the GOAT, the OG, the teen mom.
Holy
and I just
shit.
Gotta say, you know, you could play some blowin' on some days. Like my
song, say do some blows
I thought that too.
You know, whatever picks up your spirits and just gets you podcasting your heart out, DJ Qualls. Anyways,
yeah.
So much love from your girl Farrah Abraham. I'm so excited for you. Get those nerves out. Get your organization and go hard. Have a great 2024.
That is amazing and really good advice.
I know. It's a good pep talk.
It's funny because I know exactly who that is because
of
I
course.
Actually... Okay, I was watching the show when she was on it back in the day. Everybody was.
Yeah. It was like,
I was much younger.
It was mind-blowing when it first came out.
Yeah. How many years ago was that? Like 15
years ago?
She's
in her 30s now, I would guess. But yeah, she is the OG and the most controversial that's come out of the show.
Yeah, because she had a career afterward, right? Did she do... She did an adult film.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling it because she's a friend of mine now. come to my house tomorrow. We're new best friends. Call me every 10 minutes.
I really did think she said we should do blow, though. But I think she has a song maybe named Blowin'.
Oh, right. Is that about doing blow?
I don't know. We got to listen.
She
did say we should
no
listen to it
use,
before
by
we
the way.
Podcast.
They're all jokes. I'm a good boy. Although I will tell you as we get into this podcast some stories from the early 2000s when I was not a good boy.
I know.
And mention the names.
Yes, he's not afraid to tell names, which
no, is... No, because here's the thing. I would never say anything that would like destroy somebody, but I feel like Being an actor was fun.
Well,
but you have to go there every day and memorize lines. This is so much easier just to tell on people.
Well, and also you were coming up in a time where if you were famous, you had a lot more freedom. There yeah. weren't people with cell phones trying to record your every
move. So I got successful in the early 2000s. So when I was in the young Hollywood crowd, like going out every night. So back in the early 2000s, Hollywood nightlife was really organized. It was one bar, one night. Mm-hmm. And you actually got jobs from going out. There was no social media. So you would get cast based on what were called magazine tears. God, it sounds like me and Betty Davis and Jimmy Stewart.
Wait, what's a magazine tear?
Magazine tear. It sounds like I was famous in the 1920s.
Wait, what's a magazine?
So exactly, I will punch you in the face. So a magazine tears were, so for example, like Thursday nights was Hyde on Sunset. Mm-hmm. So you would be photographed leaving or entering or like leaving or entering this bar with other famous people. And so how, it was like kind of a scam because they would open these bars. Famous people would go there and you wouldn't have to pay for anything. That it was a privilege to be let in. So you would go there and be photographed and that was payment back to the people for the time. Mm-hmm. And there was nobody in there. It was like you and the Olsen twins. And
that sounds like a good time.
Yeah, but then you would be photographed leaving. And so casting people at studios would tear those out and put them in a folder with you. So it was the equivalent of having Instagram followers.
Oh.
Yeah. And so you got jobs. Like I was at a bar one night with Taryn Manning and she got like, I think got a Gap campaign with Joni Mitchell from being there.
Damn.
Yeah. So it was, and also there weren't a lot of media platforms. Wow. So the group of actors and singers, it was a much smaller group. So we all knew each other. There was not a lot of competition in the business. Like if you got a job, if you're up for something and your friend got it, there was like, you weren't bummed about it because it was going to be your turn next.
Right.
Right. And then all of a sudden phones got cameras on them and TMZ started. Mm-hmm. One of the very first videos on TMZ is me pissing behind a dumpster. Cause I didn't know what was happening. I was fucking annihilated.
And he still does.
I had to pee. Well, of course I do. But now I mean it. Now I liked being filmed, but you just didn't know. So it was a big learning curve. Like, me and an actress, this I won't mention a name, but came to our senses one morning after doing drugs in front of a TMZ cameraman that we took home with us because he was a nice guy. I mean, we didn't really get the full...
were sleeping with the enemy.
Well, we didn't sleep with him.
I know.
But I get what you're saying. But I have to just say that out loud. I didn't start sleeping around until the money dried up. But that was the world, and all this was so brand new that we were crossing all these lines and not knowing it.
Yeah.
But then we learned how to use it against each other, and we would either make, like, if we wanted to split a little money, we would call TMZ on each other. Or if, like, one time I think I went to Target with, like, Ashley Simpson and somebody else, and I think Lindsay Lohan called the paparazzi on us. Somebody did, and we thought it was her just to fuck up our day. They called TMZ on us.
Wow.
Yeah.
But now everybody calls TMZ on themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Because now people understand it. But back then, it wasn't always necessarily a good thing to be on TMZ.
Yeah,
but now
it was much more salacious back then. It was like, we're trying to catch you doing something. Whereas now it's like,
it's
celebrities, they're just like us.
Exactly. There actually used to be a feature in Us Weekly called Celebrities Are Just Like Us. Mm-hmm. And it's like somebody at the dry cleaners.
Yeah. Like picking out, but those are always so funny too, because it's like, why are you this close to Hugh Jackman as he picks out a pear at the grocery store? Like, you shouldn't be there.
Exactly.
So those are all called in too, right?
Well, here, people are on the take. My mom came to visit me once in Los Angeles, and who is it? Is there something you're pointing to?
Yeah, they're doing a start. Like, why are they in your house?
Oh, wow.
Who is that?
I don't know. Who is that star?
Sharon Stone.
That's Sharon Stone.
Oh. Well, how'd they get in her house?
Yeah. See, there used to be candidates. Oh, you know what? I bet these are things that they post on their social medias.
Oh, right.
And then Us Weekly just reruns them because they become part of the public domain.
Gotcha.
But yeah, it used to be you eating spaghetti. Like, and there's Hugh Jackman. Is that Hugh Jackman?
Yeah.
Like,
catching snow in his mouth.
That's what we'll call it.
Yeah, that's wow. That's so has that not, been photoshopped in a billion different ways?
We're not going to start shitting on celebrities until episode 4. So that's Hugh Jackman.
Come back for that.
Is Hugh Jackman catching snow on his tongue in New York City? What appears to be New York City.
Well,
but they do catch. I used to do that, but not as an adult.
Right. Yeah.
If my money, if my mouth is open that wide in that position, there's money exchange involved.
I googled you the other day just so I was like, you know, if see if I could find anything to talk about. I never knew that you were on Tyler Henry's show.
Yes.
I used to love that show, but I don't think I ever saw your episode. So I watched it. Grant and I both cried watching it. So my brother was like, you know, he's met you a couple of times, but yeah, only in scenarios where we're like at a bar and we're being really jokey, right, or whatever. And he watched it. We watched it separately. And he goes, wow, now the way you describe DJ makes so much sense to me. He goes, I love him so much now.
That's
like,
so
he's
nice.
Like, he is so vulnerable and so sweet. And he's like, he's all of the things that you ever said, but all I ever saw from him was like,
was sarcastic.
Break up with your wife
and run away with me. So here's how that shook down. So I think it was the first season. My publicist gets a call and they're like, Tyler Henry is this 19-year-old medium, and he comes to your house. They pay you $15,000 for a location fee, and you get a reading, and you get to talk to somebody who's passed. Yeah. Oh, there I am.
I was like, I've been there.
I'm wearing the same glasses and an H&M sweater. That's my living room.
Yeah.
And see, that was before any of the art was up, and so they brought people out to hang the art, so my house didn't look empty. That's really the only furniture in it, because I was living in New Orleans at the time, shooting a TV show. But I had bought this place over the phone, but I didn't live in it yet. He comes to my house, and he doesn't know who I am, because I'm not his demographic, and he's 19 years old.
I've never seen him admit that he knows anybody, and so
I could see on his face, and then I asked him after, I was like, you had no idea.
Yeah. I mean if you've got spirit in your head all the time, yeah, you probably don't have time for TV.
For
and
some
movies.
Reason I thought you were gonna do that cheer. I've got spirit, how about you? I'm glad you didn't.
No.
Okay, so but anyway, so he comes to my house, comes through the door, and I think his mom drove him, because I don't know, yeah, if he can drive, because spirits are talking to him.
Yeah, yeah. It's a danger.
Yeah. So spirits are coming, and so we set up in these positions, and I'm a brass tacks man. I'm like, so describe. And I'm also skeptical as hell. So I sit down, and there's a cameraman on this side. You see, obviously we're being filmed from that direction.
Yeah,
over there. And so Tyler was like, so I'm at a grocery store, and somebody's Aunt Velma, who just passed, will come through and tell me to tell somebody. And he was like, turns around and points to the camera guy, and he's like, that's you. Did your aunt just pass? And the guy was like visibly shocked. And I know what bad acting looks like, because 100%. I've done a lot of it. But I know what it looks like. And the guy was taken aback, but I'm still skeptical. So we get into it, and he's like, so there's this little man that wants to talk to you. He's holding up two hands. He has nine fingers. Anybody could know that. My grandpa only had one of his pinkies was cut off in an ice grinding accident in the 1920s. Boy, the 1920s were fucking hard.
Classic cramps.
Exactly. And he was like 5'2". His name was Shorty. And was not his given name, obviously. We're not that white trash.
His parents hated him.
Exactly. He was a baby and condemned to be short his whole life. No, so he came through, and so he starts telling me stuff, and then he starts telling me stuff that nobody knows about. And one of the things was, so I lived with my grandpa until not all the time, but until I was like 11, until he died, because my parents were like teenagers when I was born. And so I lived with him, and and when we were cleaning out his house, I found a pickle jar full of diabetes medication. And my grandfather was born in the Great Depression, and or was, you know, a child during the Great Depression, and he was afraid of throwing anything away, but his medicine made him feel bad. So every day he took one pill out of that jar and put it, into it from his pill, whatever, and put it into a pickle jar and put it in the back of his closet.
So nobody would know he wasn't taking it.
Yeah, but he didn't want to throw it away so he just couldn't throw things that cost money away. And so I found it, and I think I was 12, and just knew that I couldn't show this to anybody because I thought he would get in trouble. And so I put it in the bottom of the dumpster and put newspaper over it, and nobody knew this. And it came through in that interview.
Wow.
It was so crazy. So I start sobbing.
Yeah.
And because he apologizes to me, he was like, you shouldn't have found that. And he also said he was proud of me and all these different things. And I start leading, you know, and the producers will stop tape. They stop tape and they don't lead him. Like, it is that legitimate.
Because that, yeah, that's the assumption. People are like, this is just a cold reading. Yeah, people give you an information and then he runs with it. And it's like, it's so specific.
And though, one of the things that I am most serious about, and as a human, is not misleading people, mm-hmm. is not getting people's hopes up on something that can't possibly happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not a dream shitter, but I'm not going to encourage you to do something you're bad at.
Yeah.
I won't tell you you're bad at it, but I, you know, I don't want to be anybody's bad memory. And I know what the sense of loss is when you lose people. It's awful. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I would ever want to do is give false hope to somebody. It's just, it's gross.
Right.
And so I'm there, I'm shocked. So we finished the thing, and here's what people don't realize. His strength is not medium stuff. It's health readings. So while they're packing up, he takes me in my bedroom and gives me a health, asks me if I want to know a health reading. And I was like, I do. And he was like, so this is what he said. He was like, I'm seeing something that's going to happen in the next 3 to 4 weeks. And it's not scary. But if I tell you, would you promise me that you would go get it checked out? He was like, it's not scary, though. But would you promise? And I'm like, of course. And by the way, I just burped, and we will burp. Fart or whatever happens. Yeah. Probably not fart though, because I hate toilet humor. But we'll do whatever, and we will never do a second take of anything. Let's promise each other that. This has to be real.
No, for sure. I mean, listen, my other podcast, we're like very, very low effort, but the vibe is we want to create a community where we're hearing from the, it's not, look at us. We want you guys to join in. We want you guys to feel like you're sitting in the room talking with us and that everything's real. Yeah. So yeah. I agree.
I have to be real. I have to be authentic. And it goes back to my early days in Hollywood. I knew if I pretended that I look like these other people, that I would just look ridiculous. Mm-hmm. So the first time I was on the Tonight Show, Jay was like, so what's it like to be in a movie? And I'm like, so-and-so is mean. And they're like, you can't do that. And I'm like, I kind of have to do that. Because if my brand isn't honesty, then, and if I pretend like I'm one of these people, I'm not going to have a very long time here.
It's very interesting that you say that, because there is a clip of Tina Fey on Bo and Yang and Matt Rogers' podcast that has gone pretty viral recently. And she's making this statement, because I think Bowen was like kind of criticizing Saltburn. And she told him, she's like, authenticity is expensive. Like, you don't get to give your real opinions anymore because it does cost you opportunities. So how do you balance that? In a world where authenticity is so important and also jobs are important.
Yeah, the thing is, I don't fucking care.
That's good.
And the thing is, I also can say that because I have made a pretty good amount of money in my career and saved it all. Mm-hmm. Like, when I first came up, you would do a movie for scale and they get $1 million for your second picture or for your big break. I did. Mm-hmm. And I saved it. I didn't have any representation. I think I may have had a manager. No, I didn't have a manager when I did The New Guy, or maybe I just got him anyway, but I had no financial help at all. So the checks were like $45,000 a week being sent to my hotel room. Mm. At one point I had like $350,000 in checks, and I started sobbing. I had no idea how to handle this.
Right.
So what it did was I put it all into my fucking mattress. Like, and my friends were like,
what's the interest on that?
Zero, which was a giant mistake. But how it helped me though, because a lot of my friends were buying like $2 million houses, and our salaries are widely known.
Right.
And I'm like, how are you doing this? I make more money than you, and you have a $2 million house, and a lot of those houses are gone.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the minute people get even a taste of money, they go out and spend because there's a status that they want to achieve, but then all of a sudden you're drowning. You're in the same spot financially as you were before, with bigger debts.
See, the thing is, people don't realize when you first start working, you don't get any money. Mm-hmm. I got $12,500 to do Road Trip. All the other actors got like $300,000. I went $30,000 in publicity debt just for the chance at making it. Wow. So I had $120,000 in student loan debt. I had $30,000 in publicity debt. Fuck the student loan debt. I defaulted on it.
Yeah.
But Hollywood debt, this was my dream. And I went down, I auditioned for a one-line part in Road Trip. In Atlanta. I was living in Nashville at the time, working at a law firm. And went down there to audition for this. And it was a one-line part, and I wound up getting a lead. And like literally 8 months later, I was on The Tonight Show.
Crazy.
So it was this crazy thing. So all my dreams were coming true. So if you ask me for $10,000, I would be like, can I sign an IOU? Mm-hmm. I knew it was my chance. And also subsequently, because I knew this was my chance, during shooting Road Trip, Todd Phillips and I fought a lot. Todd Phillips, who went on to direct the Hangover mm-hmm. movies and the Joker, we fought a lot.
What were you fighting about?
Because I knew that if I was the butt of the joke, like I saw what happened to the Shermanator mm-hmm. on American Pie, and people treat you like that in real life. If you ever play a character where the audience laughs at, first of all, I thought we would lose the movie if they laughed at him, because the whole point was this disparate group of guys could become friends and this guy could come out of his shell. Mm-hmm. And that was the point. And it had to be funny. But the second thing was, I knew in real life, I know how the public regards you. And because I'm in this shell, people think they can... I knew that people thought they could talk to me crazy. You cannot talk to me crazy, by the way. When people ask me this question, I get asked this a lot in interviews. So what's the one thing that people don't know about you? And it's like, I'm not very nice in person. If you fuck with me, I mean, I'm nice.
You are, but if somebody is coming in hot,
if you act crazy,
you're not afraid to.
Yeah. But anyway, but I knew that it would be a barrier for me getting other work. And I had already decided that I was going to go for broke. Mm-hmm. And so Todd and I, we fought a bit. He put me in my place a couple times because he was right. But a lot of times I was right. Because yeah. also I know what it's like to feel like this character. But anyway, so it came out, did really well. And next thing I know, I'm $30,000 in debt. And then I did a movie called Big Trouble that was Sofia Vergara's first English language movie. It was literally, it should have been called 200 Famous People and DJ Qualls. Like, I was brand new. It was like Jason Lee, Rene Russo, Tim Allen. Like, it was Zooey Deschanel. It was everybody. Johnny Knoxville. It was so many famous people. Janine Garofalo. I don't know if I said her name twice. Andy Richter, right, when he left Conan. It was a big cast. It was about a bomb on an airplane that was supposed to be released September 20th, 2001. And then September 11th happened. So the movie was quietly released in that February. I think it made $13 million of its Hugh Jackman like French Kissing the Sky keeps popping up into my. It's kind of now doing something for me. So Road Trip was a big deal. And then I did that, and then I got the new guy. I got offered the new guy when I was doing that, and then my life really profoundly changed. So I saved all that money. I lived in a one-bedroom apartment in Santa Monica for 10 years that right. was rent-controlled at the height of my earning, because I knew at some point that shit was could possibly hit the fan, and it kind of has. But I'm not in dire financial straits. And why am I talking about this? There was a reason for this. It's going to be
Tyler Henry was going to give you a health diagnosis.
This is what my cameo videos are like, too. They're 37 minutes long.
You put so much effort into those.
I really do.
It's so worth it for people.
Because everything fucking matters to me.
Yeah.
Everything matters to me. Tyler Henry... And then I was like, talk about the financial stuff. Oh, yeah, I'll say whatever the fuck I want because I got financial resources to do it. And I brought it back around. But here's the thing. I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to be mean for no reason.
No.
If you are being a shithead, I will call you a shithead. But also, if you're lovely, I also will say that. I'll be the first person to sing your praises.
Yeah. But that's one of the things, too. It's like, so we met... a little over 5 years ago via Jim Jefferies, which shout out to Jim. We fucking love him.
Hey, Jim.
Great fucking dude. But we hit it off instantly. Yeah. Like the first night we met, everybody else went to bed and we stayed up talking like all fucking night. And then you're like, take my number. Let's hang out. I texted you. You never responded.
Yeah, because I get really shy.
6 months.
I get very shy with people.
But then when we saw each other the next time, kind of just picked right up from there. And then we started hanging out all the time. And
she's not telling you, as I think the first night we hung out for like 12 hours. Was it the first night?
I don't know. I mean, we've had so many nights where we were talking for fucking 10 hours straight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I've talked to you more than probably anybody in my life, and I've only known you for 5 years.
Yeah. Has it only been 5 years?
I think it's just over 5 years. I think we met when Jim became a U.S. citizen at his citizenship party.
Oh, it was at Jim's. It was. Jim Jefferies is really... He's
the glue here.
He's the glue here.
Yeah. Something that I love about you, I'm very fucking honored to be your friend just because of the way that I see you. you deal with your fans. Like,
thank you.
We go to Universal all the time, and there's always people that are coming up to take pictures with you. But even when you can tell that somebody is eyeing you but is trying not to bother you,
oh, like in Hawaii,
you'll call it out and be like, "Hey, how are you? I'm DJ." Like, you'll introduce yourself to them because maybe they're a person who's like, "I recognize that guy, but I don't know his name and I don't want to go up there." But you're so lovely to these people. And I went to Hawaii with you to your Supernatural convention and just like sat there in awe as you dealt with these people around you. And I loved everybody I met in Hawaii. I mean, just great people.
Yeah, they're great people.
But like for you, you are not somebody who has ever gotten to the place where you begrudge your fans, which is such an easy place for people to get to. And it's like, well, these are the people who, this is why you have all this money and you're famous and all this stuff.
So before I address that, let me qualify. First of all, talking about fame, first of all, I don't think I'm so famous, but also nobody looks like me. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen anything, and the motherfucker that looks like me should be compensated for it. If you're walking, so nobody looks like me. So if you've seen me in something, I'm highly recognizable. And so I'm also not going to deny that people know who I am. Mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I fucking hate famous people. I think that most of them are complete assholes. But acknowledging something doesn't mean you think it's awesome or that you're awesome for having it. I don't think I'm awesome, but I also know that I'm recognizable. And so when somebody goes, I know how hard it is to approach somebody. I don't want to be anybody's bad memory. So if somebody comes up to me, unless you're being a fucking asshole, or like somebody sat down with me and my dad eating dinner once and my dad lost his mind. My dad was a welder in a casket factory for 40 years, like coffins.
Yeah.
And I grew up in a very small town in Tennessee, and I feel like my career has happened to them in a way too, and they don't get any of the benefits.
Right.
And so my dad lost his mind, and it really, and I was like, you can't do that. But then that made me realize there actually are barriers. You can be like, hey, not now. Mm-hmm. Like I had to put my dog my dog had a seizure when I was in New York. I was in a movie theater on 23rd Street. And my vet called me, and so I went outside. He was like, we have to put George down. So I'm sobbing, walking down 23rd Street, and two people stop me. And they're like, hey, can we get a photo? And I'm sobbing, and I'm like, I may have to put my dog down. And the guy said this, we'll be real quick. Ugh. So I remember drying my eyes and taking a photo, and then the anger I felt when I got back to L.A. I didn't have to put my dog down that day. But the anger that I felt for not being seen at all. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, well, that's on you, brother. That's on me. It's easy to say to people, but the last thing
you probably were mad because you betrayed your own boundary or whatever.
The last thing I'm going to do is be a fucking asshole to somebody for no reason at all. I would never do that. And the thing is, famous people that hate the attention, I promise, I swear to you, all of them would be going to be destroyed when it stops.
Oh, yeah, for
because
sure.
Because human brain's interesting. You get used to anything.
Yeah.
It's your operating normal, people knowing who you are, not having to fucking stand in line, not having to do this or that. And the morning you wake up and have to put yourself into the shower.
By the way, that's a text that I always get from DJs. It's like,
Kelly,
come pick me up and put me in the shower.
Kelly, will you fly to London and build come into my hotel and build a tunnel of plastic bags to the bathroom because it's cold in here?
By the way, my dog is here. Rhino, come here.
Hey, Rhino.
Rhino, come here.
Rhino is a big love.
You still loading them and heating them up with all your single shit you've been dropping. You feel me? Loading them up on. It only takes structure. And you know, just paying attention to the climate of the game.
Yeah.
Know what I mean?
So do your homies got a role in your little, you mean?
Yeah, we all artists over here, man.
Y'all
trying
already?
Oh, yeah. I'm trying to get them on there. Yeah.
Look,
we all artists, man. You feel me? We going to have this like...
Bro, me and my man Kyle, we be like, I don't know, we play with this shit right now. I gotta lie, we play with this shit right now for real.
Don't play with it. Take that shit serious.
But he's just walking around the studio like he owns it.
Well, he's getting used to being our mascot. Rhino's our mascot. Oh yeah, so the health reading. So guys,
what was wrong with you?
So I'm going to tease our second episode right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm terrified of weed products. And I will tell you why I'm terrified of weed products in the next thing. I had a bad, when weed first became a thing, when it first got legalized for medical reasons here, it was my early days in LA, so I got a card and did not know what the fuck I was doing, and it scared the hell, something happened that scared me so bad, I'm not great at it.
And so what are we going to do the next episode? But
so Kelly's the kind of person that can get high and go about her day, yeah. And I'm fascinated by that. So we're going to take edibles for the next episode, yeah. And I feel like this is a safe environment. The stakes aren't that high yet. There are probably not a lot of people listening, and I just want to see. I mean, I don't want a podcast where we do it where we're high. But sometimes
but we are going to.
Yeah, but
right?
we're going to do it. And the thing is, we're going to. I will also want to use this as an experiential thing. We're going to take this on the road.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get one of those terribly invasive laser treatments. We're going to do that. I want to do cryotherapy. Like, so many things.
We can take them to Universal with us.
Yeah, I want to do so many things.
Learn how to cook.
I want to do.
I would do mushrooms.
Yeah, I would do mushrooms. I've only done them twice. I used them once correctly and incorrectly the second time. And this chair started fucking with me at Ty Olson's house. And they had to cover it. It was not great. But the last 3 hours of the experience... And at my bedside when everybody was huddled around me were really awesome, and I felt great, but I knew that I used them wrong.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you about that later too. But so anyway, Tyler Henry's medical readings.
You'll find out on the next episode.
In season two, we'll talk about, I'll get to that. So his thing is medical reading. So he's, you know, he said, I'm going to tell you this thing, and I just want you to promise, to give me your word that if when this happens, because it will happen, that you'll just go and have it checked out. And I'm like, sure. And he's like, about 3 to 4 weeks, you'll wake up and you'll have a hard time bending your fingers and toes. They'll be very stiff. And I did. And so I called my GP and went in that day, and I had a potassium imbalance that could cause a heart attack.
Damn.
Some freak potassium imbalance.
What
yeah.
the fuck?
So.
And would you, is that something that you would have gone to the doctor for?
Probably not. I mean, if it persisted a couple of days, yeah. I probably would have.
I would have just immediately assumed, like, oh, I had too much salt or something.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
that's what you would assume. Yeah. But if it prolongs itself, I probably would have gone in. But yeah, it was a dangerous situation. I don't know exactly what it was called because I'm not a details person as far as medicine is concerned. Like, I turned down a guest spot on ER once because of the tubing. I don't like medical things. I don't like hearing about surgeries. Like,
why is that? Did something bad happen to you medically?
I don't know. Google me. Google DJ Qualls and medical shit.
That was actually funny because yeah. The last time we were at Universal, it was me, you, Billy, and Kim. And Billy was talking about his lumbar stenosis or spinal stenosis or whatever. And I said, I have fibromyalgia. And DJ goes, I don't have any health problems. And I go, you had cancer. And he's twice.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, fuck, I forgot about that. If that tells you how high my threshold for experience has become. Like, I've seen too much, I've done too much. At my local bar in Vancouver, I spent half my year in Vancouver, and I was on a TV show there for a few years. It's called The Moose. It's a heavy metal bar. When you think of me, don't you think heavy metal? Anyway, yes. I love this bar. And so my friend Jordan sent me a text. It was like, can you believe Danusha sprayed the bar with breast milk last night? And I wasn't so drunk that I didn't remember it. I'd just forgotten it. Mm-hmm. Like, a woman pulled out her boobs and sprayed us all with breast milk, and my threshold for experience is so high, it did not stand out for me.
That's honestly, like, that's such an interesting concept, too, because not that I've had something like that happen, but I'm somebody who's had a lot of adventure in my life, and I would assume that some of the people I've hung out with, the craziest things of their life have happened with me. And so they're always like, remember that time? And I'm like,
no,
not a single clue. And they're like, that was the craziest fucking night of my life. I'm like, sounds pretty normal. You're like,
I've seen so much porn, I have to basically be choked almost unconscious to get off anymore. I've seen too much.
Or just the right amount.
Or just the right amount. Although sometimes I was gonna go a couple episodes before I start talking about my dick. But sometimes I will actually I will take a break from porn and just to make sure that I haven't wrecked myself and just use my imagination. And lately I've been dreaming myself into. So I'm a lucid dreamer. Mm-hmm. When I was sick as a child, I had night terrors, and so I went to a sleep therapist who taught me how to in waking state, from completely waking, self-hypnotize to go into sleep. Mm-hmm. And you can dream yourself wherever you want to be. You get to set the stage, and you also can pull yourself out of it. And I still do it mm-hmm. all the time. But lately, I've been having all my dreams have turned to sex dreams. Like, I'm having problems making eye contact with people in my normal life because they're all
Did
in
we
them.
Actually
They're
fuck
doing or? Things in front of me, to me, behind me. They're doing a lot of things. And so now I'm running with it because it's happening so frequently. And I'm now dreaming myself into sex dreams. I've constructed this plane, and planes, like, I've become a nervous flyer since the pandemic. I'm getting over it, but I've constructed a big plane, and for some reason I'm in coach in this plane too, and I put myself
the fuck?
There. But I'm passing all these hot people on the way to my seat, and when we all get seated, I go out and start messing around with them. I did it the other night.
Have you ever hooked up with anybody in a plane?
No,
I have.
No, I've never done it. See, I really. I mean, and I don't even want to do it for the experience.
I haven't had sex. When I was 15, I made out with a stranger on a plane, was on a it, flight that was I was
it
with.
Another, it was another kid, right?
Yeah. He, okay. Uh-huh. I think he was 18.
Okay, I didn't want this
he was,
to turn.
He was Mormon. Shout out to Chris. I was on a flight with my parents on the way back from Hawaii.
Chris has probably told his wife. So, you know, see this girl on Jim Jefferies' podcast? I made out with her once.
I hope so. I hope he's watching.
He's probably
in
trouble.
And if you're single, just
probably
kidding.
And the shit that you've done, he's probably now excommunicated.
Oh, I know. It just being associated. Yeah. No, it's funny because it was like a 50%, or maybe it was even less than that, 30% full flight. And so I had moved back a few rows, like from where my parents were, and he moved forward a few rows.
Oh, yeah, you did.
And we just happened to be in the seats across. And I clocked him before we got on the plane. I was like, that guy's hot. So we're sitting across from each other. He offers me some candy. We're kind of chit chatting, and then it's like in the middle of the night. He's like, "What? I can't hear. We got to talk quiet." So I go over there, and then we start making out. But we had a connecting flight, and so my dad and I were walking to go get some food, and
dad was on the plane.
Yes, both my parents were. I was a bad girl.
How old were you?
15. But I was just a makeout slut in high school. Yeah. Like, I was a virgin. But my dad and I pass his family, and so like he and I gave each other this kind of look, and my dad goes, "What, did you make out with him or something?" And I thought he was just like psychic at the time, and now I've realized, oh no, he definitely saw us making out.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he had to have gone to the bathroom in our hot and heavy session.
But going to the bathroom and fucking, like, in a closet?
I'm 6'2", I can barely fit in the bathroom myself.
Yeah, and I'm all elbows. Like, I pity the poor guy who gets into there with me, who went up and pale.
I was trying to figure out a way to finish that, like an all hat, no cattle type thing. Like,
I don't even
all
know what
elbow.
That means.
I think that's somebody who just pretends to be a cowboy, like wears a cowboy hat.
Oh, I've never heard of that before.
They're not part of the cowboy lifestyle.
Yeah.
I heard recently a euphemism for a euphemism for gay was "that dog don't hunt," and I was like, that's hilarious.
Oh, that's not like a southern thing.
Yeah,
that dog won't hunt. It's that dog won't hunt.
Oh well,
yeah,
I think it's funnier when you say "that dog don't hunt."
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's certainly much better than what we were typically called. Yeah, with a hard T. Oh, the South, I love you. I actually do love the South. I miss the South. Growing up, I wanted to get out for obvious reasons. I mean, for many obvious reasons. But now everybody's moved to Nashville.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. There are signs in people's yards now in Nashville that say, "Go back to California." Here's the reason why, though. You took your equity out of a house in Southern California, and now houses are going for $300,000
right,
over asking.
And
the local economy doesn't support those wages, right? Or those prices. So people are pissed. Also, Californians, this is a public service message for you. Don't call anything quaint like you came there and just fucking discovered it. People right. don't like it. Or like you're saving or bringing new ideas yeah. in. Come gently.
Don't colonize other states.
Yeah,
just,
yeah. Just come
just
gently.
Enjoy it.
Just come gently.
Yeah.
Come gently, the DJ Qualls story.
Would you say it's been gentle?
Not always. Not always.
What? He's crazy right now. I had some questions for you from, you know, people on my Instagram, but
yeah, what did you do? So I'm not a social media person. I have Instagram and Twitter. Like I have like 200 and something thousand followers mm-hmm. on Twitter, but Instagram, I did it like after everybody else joined. And so I have to have like 80 something thousand. And I just don't feel like talking to 80,000 people. jokes. But I think it's, for me, Instagram is too personal because it leads with a photograph.
Yeah.
And you can just go on Twitter and call everybody bitches and hoes and then go back to your normal life.
Yeah. It is hard dealing with, I mean, you were the first person really that gave me a perspective on internet hate versus compliments and stuff like that.
It doesn't feel like anything.
But yeah, what I very much appreciated, because when I was doing Jim's podcast, like my intention was never to be on the podcast. I was producing it, and then I ended up happening to be at Jim's, like, there's your seat, and now I'm on camera all of a sudden. And I hadn't prepared myself mentally for positive or negative comments. And so we had had a conversation at one point where we, you know, I was talking about negative comments, and you were like, I don't care about negative comments or positive. Like, none of them affect.
Well, the thing is, it's not that I don't care about them. Let them in. Yeah. I can, but the thing is, obviously, positive things, I'm not going to go run with it, and it's going to really alter me in any way. But it's nice to hear them.
Right.
Positive anything is awesome. But if somebody goes out of their way to shit on you, that's not about you. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, we tell ourselves way worse things than anybody could ever say to us. We don't need to entertain a chorus of other fools doing it. But I will say this, though, sometimes it's funny. Once I got a fan letter from Japan that just said, I want you die. This motherfucker hated me so badly, he got a first class international stamp.
Oh, nice station. You were gonna say flight. Wait a second.
Nice stationery. Found out where my management company was, and back then that was hard information to find out.
At that point, when you're putting in that much effort, you're a fucking fan.
Yeah, I kept it.
Yeah, let's frame it.
It actually fed me.
When we moved the studio to my house, let's frame that.
Dude,
and put it up.
I'll have to find it. It's in the rubble somewhere in my house, but I definitely know I kept it because I was like, because it also validated me in a way. I was like, people in Japan hate me.
They know me. They really know me. Yeah, I think it is funny because people, A, don't understand how the internet works, that the algorithm doesn't care what the content of the comment is. It is this person engaging with your comment? And so it's my favorite thing in the world when I see people commenting on any type of story on their feed going, get this shit off my feed. I don't care about this shit. And it's like, you've just guaranteed that you will only see this from now on.
Yeah, it's like my whole internet feed is babies doing cute stuff and shirtless douchebags touching their face to that Talking to the Moon song. It's all that because I engaged it one time.
Yeah. My brother, he would like either comment on some political views or whatever, and he's like, man, I found myself on Red Pill TikTok and I want out. Like, I was like, you can't comment, dude. Even if you're commenting hate.
You really can't. I also try to monitor. Like, I don't really go negative on... our politicians are fair game.
Yeah.
They're all fair game. But I try not to shit on somebody else's work.
100%.
The thing is, like, you know that show, if they're in an airplane, Manifest.
Mm-hmm.
It is like an 87... hour long Lifetime movie with no real conclusion. I haven't watched the last two seasons, but I watched it and it was so bad I couldn't stop watching it. And I hate doing things ironically, mm-hmm. but it was so terrible I couldn't believe it. And so I was addicted to watching it. And so I posted that and the showrunner commented on it. God. And I was like, that's a really shitty thing to do I did that, because this has been years of his life. Every time something's developed, it's 2 years in development, and it finally goes through. But that said, come on
about it. It really sucked. I try to live my life. You can't be perfect in all of this, but complaining and
I complain like a motherfucker,
talking
though.
Shit is not really. I'll talk shit back if somebody provokes me, but like. If I don't like things, I generally try to phrase it like that wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Like
that's what I do.
Not my type of comedy.
It's really
that's not
easy
my type
to
of
do.
Show.
It's just not for me.
Yeah. Because when you are talking shit, you're just opening yourself up to all that criticism too. And it's like, I would rather, and I also know how fucking hard it is to put yourself out there. Podcasts, acting, whatever it is, music, like it is hard and brave to put yourself out there. And so the last thing they need is somebody who's doing the same shit talking shit.
But if you are an asshole who does something that is not good, I will talk about it.
We will kill you.
No, no, no. But here's the thing. If you're altruistic and just trying to do your stuff, but if you are a dick, like certain comedians who will probably come up who you know I can't stand, I'm going to talk about you. Also, the thing is, I don't... When people ask if there's a line in comedy or anything, I don't think there is a line. It's either for you or not for you. It's you should be able to say anything. You will, if you're willing to pay the consequences for that, say whatever the hell you want. But if it's not clever,
funny.
If it's making fun of somebody in the lowest common denominator way, I love a good gay joke. But make it clever. And I can't remember, somebody recently posted something about me that was really shitty, and I normally don't respond to it, but it was so dumb that I was like, in 2 seconds, I've thought of 15 other things that are a much better get based on that.
And this is your job.
Be funny. Like,
yeah, yeah, 100%.
If you're going to come for me in a clever way.
Yeah, you look at somebody like Anthony Jeselnik, who has really perfected the art of turning really dark things into clever comedy. And that, then other people are like, listen to this joke. And it's just like multiple slurs. And you're like, that's
not funny,
that's
dude.
Not it.
Anybody
that's
can not do that.
It. Yeah. Yeah. We should do that for the next episode. For the next episode. Sure. On the next episode, multiple slurs.
Yeah, we're going to get high and say dumb shit. We're going to say not funny, offensive shit.
Yeah. Let's wrap it up then.
This was a lot less painless than I thought.
A lot less painless or less painful?
No, a lot less painless.
A lot more painless.
A lot more painful. A lot. No, this was. Well,
you'll find out on the next episode. Join us next time.
Fucking painful as hell.
Join us next time to see if DJ thought this was painful or not.
It's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah, it's easy, right?
It's easy.
We're just having talking. Conversations. We literally sit on balconies and talk for hours at a time, which is why we're doing this. So if you guys want to check out our Patreon, you'll get the episodes a week early with video. We also have some cool tiers where you can do monthly Zoom happy hours with us, where you'll actually be able to like talk and ask questions and stuff like that.
And at some point, people will be able to randomly pick people to come on the show, right? Like call in?
Sure, yeah.
I want to do that. I want to talk to people.
Yeah, for sure. We're planning on doing live shows eventually. We're gonna do all the things.
And in honor of our 2-year anniversary, we're going to randomly pick somebody and come to spend a weekend with them.
Yeah, we'll come stay at your house.
That's a great idea.
Have bunk beds ready.
No, we can stay at a hotel, but we will do whatever you do in a weekend.
Ooh, that would
even
be
if,
fun.
Even if it's like field plowing.
No, well, okay. I might be busy that weekend.
I would plow with you.
Well, I'll check my calendar.
But anyway, all of these extracurricular things, like when we get our face lasered off, when we do it, like I'm going to get acupuncture, I'm terrified of needles, like all of that stuff will be on our Patreon.
Yeah, so patreon.com/loadedpod.
Yeah.
Oh, and the reason we're doing a Patreon is because we're paying for this ourselves. We are not with a company. We don't really feel like doing ads for products that we don't use or have ever heard of or like. Yeah. So
we would only ever endorse something that we like. I got offered like $5,000 once to endorse a shaving cream that fucking sucked. I cut myself up. I'm like, I'm not going to get people to spend $20 for a can of this garbage.
Yeah.
And also, one of the reasons why I'm doing this, I haven't told Kelly about, is I'm very interested in seeing her meteoric rise to success and then the inevitable crumbling of it. Like, I want to be here for all of it.
That's a true friend.
I really want to be here for when shit starts to go sideways, when you deal with the pitfalls of fame. So help me experience that, please.
I might have too fragile a mental health to do this podcast.
I can't wait.
Tune in next week to see if I've killed myself. See you guys next time.
Bye, guys.
Sit on down and pour yourself a glass.
Then tune in to your favorite podcast,
where things will be misquoted
and opinions ain't sugar-coated.
Cause DJ and Kelly are locked.